Welcome to the Aquarimax Audio Show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
Hello, hello.
We've got all kinds of things going on.
One
of them is the fact that our axolotl is settling in well.
Yes.
Or our daughter's axolotl settling in well. His or her, we don't know yet. Gills.
I think she's just calling it a girl. She named it Thea. So.
Yeah. Its gills are becoming suitably fluffy, which is a good sign that it's acclimating well. And it's quite active, and it's fun to see. It's a pretty color. Still haven't gotten a good light for it, though. We'll do that.
We'll work on that.
Yep. All right, we have three contributors this week.
One of them is new. Oh, that Jinx. Wasn't even planned. Now you have to buy me ice cream.
Oh, no, because I said Jinx, so you have to buy me ice cream.
No. That's not how it works.
Okay.
Jackie from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada.
That's cool. We haven't had anybody from Winnipeg before. No, we've had Canadian contributors, but it's been a while, and we haven't had anybody from Winnipeg that I recall. So, welcome, Jackie.
Yeah. And Joe in Hudsonville, Michigan. And Mick in Carnforth, UK.
Cool.
So, shall we start?
Yes, okay. Let's.
So we'll go to Jackie first. She says, long-time podcast listener. Have a 2-year-old 30-gallon planted Wallstad tank. Ammonia, nitrite, and nitrate all zero. pH is 7.4 to 7.6. Temperature 79 degrees. Recently lost the sole resident pet angelfish.
I could see how that would be a lovely place for an angelfish. That's too bad.
Yeah. She says, I would like to get a male betta for the tank. Can you recommend some compatible fish or shrimp? As you have successfully raised and kept bettas, what are the best food items to provide a long, healthy life?
Okay. So let's talk about that for a minute. Compatible fish or shrimp. Bettas, in a 30-gallon tank, I think you're going to have a few more options than you might in a smaller betta tank. But really, with bettas, it can be tough. I would think that you could probably get away with some red... Well, I'm not going to say you could probably get away. I better say you might be able to get away with some red cherry shrimp in the tank, just because it's a big planted tank. And Wallstad tanks are typically heavily planted and jungleated, jungleified, very jungle-esque.
Jungly?
Yes. And that being the case... some red cherry shrimp may well
and
be able to escape
to hide.
The predatory attentions of the betta. Not all of them will, unless the betta happens to be a very docile, non-shrimp-craving betta. But, and you never know. I mean, there's so much differences in personality, so many differences in personality and so on between bettas that some of them will kill a shrimp as soon as you drop it in the tank, and others... will coexist well with the shrimp, and the shrimp will breed. So you never know until you see the betta.
Until
but
you
just
try.
The fact that it's a 30-gallon tank and it's going to be heavily planted, I'm betting on... Well, I can't even say that.
They would have a better chance.
That they might have a better chance in that case. And anything like a red cherry shrimp, you know, a different color variety of... A closely related shrimp might do well. I wouldn't try like a crystal red or anything like that. A smaller shrimp. I don't know if you could get away with like a Singapore wood shrimp, like a bamboo shrimp, something like that. I don't know if you could with a betta. It really depends on how aggressive the betta would be towards it. But since they, on the individual level, are larger, you might have a better chance. But then again, it might just make a bigger target that's harder to hide. So... Since red cherry shrimp are sort of a smaller investment on the individual level, well, that's kind of maybe heartless to say, it might be a better thing to try. Or you could get maybe some ghost shrimp and see how the betta reacts, and if the betta goes after them and kills them, then don't try the cherry shrimp. In terms of fish that you could put in there, you've got a few options. I might suggest some of the dwarf corys or some of the larger corys, at least some of the ones that are okay with temperatures on the warmer side. Some corys, you know, really prefer cooler water, and at 79 degrees, that's a great temperature for a betta, but some corys would be uncomfortable. But for the types of corys that like warmer water, I would say go for it. Sounds good. That's a great thing to try. And some of the dwarf quarries, like the Pygmaeus, they often do fairly well with bettas, and they're fun to see because they'll swim in the middle of the water column more than, you know, a lot of the larger quarries will. So, a couple of ideas there.
Okay. Food?
Food for bettas. Well, I tend to think that live foods are good for bettas. I think Daphne are great. Wingless fruit flies are great. You don't need those types of foods, though, for bettas to do well. I mean, some of the brands that I've worked with, let me see, what's that brand that I use? Addison's Betta Food. I like that one. That's a good one. One of the reasons I like it is because the pellets are fairly small, and so you can give more than, you know, a tiny amount of pellets, and that younger bettas, especially like female bettas, will eat those. We raised our bettas, you know, once they were past the brine shrimp and, you know, Walter Worm stage, we started giving them Addison's Betta Pro, and they grew really fast on it. It was amazing how fast they grew on that stuff. So I like that brand. It's a pretty good brand. I like that one as a staple, and that's the one I tend to use. I have used others as well, but I like it a lot. And then I would recommend, you know, some sort of live food supplementation periodically. Scuds or amphipods are good. Like I mentioned before, Daphne are good. And I really like the wingless fruit flies for them. All things that they might find analogs to in their natural habitat. So, you know, they're probably not going to find wingless fruit flies, but they're probably going to find insects of a similar nutritional composition and similar size.
Okay.
And they may not find Daphne, or they may or may not find Daphne, but they're going to find crustaceans that are going to be similar, most likely. So those are some items that I would suggest.
Okie dokie. She also says that she also has a large number of pond snails that seem to have come with the plants. She has two assassin snails, but they seem to be overwhelmed, and any ideas would be greatly appreciated.
Okay. I'm guessing that if you happen to have a male and female assassin snail, my understanding is that, unlike many common snails that we keep, they are not hermaphroditic, that they have individuals that are male or female, not both. But if you do have a male and a female, you have nothing to worry about. It may take a while, but they will eventually clear out the entire tank of pond snails. If you don't have a male and a female, you probably don't have anything to worry about, and they will still clear the tank of pond snails, but it just might take a while. How long have you had the pond snails? That's something to think about too. The assassin snails. They do take a while to get started, but they will eventually do it. I have put one assassin snail into a 20-gallon tank that had a lot of, I believe they are ram's horn snails, if I recall correctly, and that one assassin snail did eventually get them all. It took a while, but it was a war of attrition. The assassin snail ate them more quickly than they could reproduce. It just took several months for it to do it because there were quite a few.
Imagine he was a nice plump assassin snail by the end.
Yeah. So I think you're good. If you want to get a couple more assassin snails, it wouldn't hurt. If you put two more in, you'd be almost assured
at least one of them's,
you're going to have a pair somewhere in there. Not completely sure, but it's highly likely that you'd have a pair. And they would gradually take care of things if the two happen not to be enough. But I think you're going to be okay. That's my personal opinion. I put a few assassin snails in a 55-gallon tank that I was gifted to me that was full of Malaysian trumpet snails. Just full of them. I thought, are they ever going to make a dent in those huge quantities of snails? They did. They completely eliminated them all. It just took a while. And when they did, there were a lot more baby assassin snails.
That's true.
So,
okey-doke.
It'll happen, I think.
But if she wanted to speed it up, she could get a couple more assassin snails.
You could put a couple more in there, and that might be a good thing. They will take care of them, though, eventually.
Okay, let's go to Joe in Hudsonville, Michigan.
Okay, I just wanted to say thank you, Jackie, and welcome.
Yes,
indeed. We hope to hear from you again.
Mm-hmm. He says, I took your advice and got 4 cherry red shrimp. Or red cherry shrimp, right? Same thing. I couldn't be happier. The fish have completely ignored them so far. Good. I have attached a couple pictures of them. I also am sending along a picture of my older yellowhead Ginny at Blue Fish Aquarium in Granville, Michigan, checking out the rays while we were on our shrimp gathering trip.
Hmm, see, she likes rays too.
I love rays.
So is Blue Fish Aquarium a store, I guess? It must be a store.
I guess so, or an aquarium.
Yeah, well, I'm guessing it's a store.
They've got rays.
That they were on their shrimp gathering trip, so I'm assuming that meant not just traveling, but also at the store. I don't know, I could be wrong.
They could be in the same town and they went to them both. I don't know.
But let's look at those pictures.
Which we will put up, of course, for you guys.
That's not the picture. Oh, there it is. Okay. Do you see the shrimp hanging out right there in the Anubis plant?
Very nice.
It's good. I'm glad your fish are ignoring them because, you know, you never know. But now you do, at least for now. I mean, they won't always ignore them, but... Mm-hmm. Now, this one I looked at, and I couldn't see the shrimp. It may have to do with my color blindness. Can you see it?
Is Ginny his daughter?
I think so.
Okay, that makes more sense.
See?
He's just giving her a fishy-sounding name.
Oh, because he said yellowhead.
Yeah.
Maybe that means she's blonde.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it sounds like a...
Sounds like a fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or a parrot, like a double yellowhead parrot.
Very cute. Look at the rays. You guys can see them. We'll put them up.
They're cool colors, too. Mm-hmm. See, part of the reason I think this is because this looks like a pet store tank to me. It looks cool.
Yeah,
I love it.
Does.
It's nice. The water's really clear and everything.
Well, what pet store are you going to that they sell rays? I want some.
I'm just wondering. I mean, may not be. We should look up that aquarium and see if it's a pet store or a public aquarium. But just, you can see in the picture there are things in the background, and I'm thinking that in a pet store you'd expect to see that sort of thing. In a, you know, an exhibit,
an aquarium,
in an aquarium,
not so
public aquarium, maybe not, but it's cool. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And look at that. She's your kindred spirit.
I know, she's looking
out
at the rays.
Just like you.
You can tell her I think they're really awesome, too. Okay.
Well, I'm glad your shrimp are doing well and glad you had a fun trip there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've got Mick in Carnforth, the one and only. He says, hi guys, it's been very busy here at the shop, but I have been following the podcast. That's good that it's busy.
Yeah.
Lots of business.
I was excited to see your email. It came in through Fangs and Fins.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Very
and
cool.
Actually, it ended up my spam box, but I found it and rescued
that's good.
It.
So did you put it on the right list?
I put it on the right list, I think. I hope I did.
He says, very exciting news on the new Axie. I have golden leucistic ones in stock at the moment. I was wondering if the breeder you got it from would be interested in doing an interview for a future podcast. I'm sure all of us dedicated aquarimaxers would enjoy it, although I have to admit a personal bias. That would be neat. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, the person I got it from was not the breeder.
Oh, they weren't?
She had obtained them from a breeder. And I don't know if I made this clear in the last podcast.
Oh, was she kind of liquidating?
Well, she got a large quantity from the breeder because she wanted to try to breed them.
Mm-hmm.
But she hasn't actually done so yet. But she got them fairly recently.
Oh, okay.
And I'm trying to remember. It is... They do have a big facility where her husband breeds fish. I don't know if she is involved in breeding the fish or not, but she is the one who's kind of spearheading the axolotl stuff.
Okay.
But anyway, she, I don't believe, has bred any of the axolotls yet. She has only been kind of holding them, keeping them. But I wonder if, and she does have 4 tubs of just the golds, and I know she's got leucistic in the back and stuff that she's not selling right now because she wants to breed them. So she's got lots of axolotls. But
maybe not quite as long a term of experience.
So, yeah, that's the thing. She doesn't have experience. She doesn't have any long-term experience with them, I guess. But maybe we could contact her and see if we get in contact with the original breeder.
That would be cool.
Because I would love to do an interview about axolotls. That would be cool.
We can work on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Mick says, I remember that there have been a few discussions on nitrate and organics reduction in recent weeks. I have probably brought this up before, but I use a product called Polyfilter, made by Arcadia. It is good for use in fresh or salt water, and I used it in my nano reef tank a few years ago to save on adding a protein skimmer. It is very good at removing a wide range of chemical and organic compounds, and I use a piece around 3 inches square in my water conditioning tank with an aerostone.
So that's good advice for... Tony and Matt to try out.
Yeah.
Keep their nitrates down and so on. Cool. Thank you.
He says, although it is dearer than using activated carbon, it is longer lasting and absorbs rather Adsorbs rather than absorbs. So no leaching back into the tank when saturated. Okay, tell us what adsorbs means.
Well, adsorbs. Okay. Absorb and adsorb. I guess it's on the chemical level, on the micro level, it's a different way of collecting the pollutants. Absorb is like what a sponge does with liquid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And adsorb is like it collects it on the surface. It links to it, sort of.
The middle of it doesn't get any of it.
Grabs onto it, onto the surface. And something like polyfilter would have lots of surface, both interior and exterior, that it would attach to.
We've got to sing the song. I haven't sung the song in forever.
We'll do it then.
Surface area. Is it appropriate? Is that what you're talking about?
In a way, yes. Sort of? Yes. Because
did I inappropriately sing the surface area song?
Because it's going to be collected all over on the outside of the surfaces. So yeah, it makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just hadn't gotten to sing the song in so long. I just realized it's been...
You've been singing in your sleep lately.
I don't sing in my sleep.
Oh, I'll just record you next time.
Okay, you think I dream about surface area.
Okay. Oh, and he's got a link to the product page.
Oh, okay, good. We can put that up. Everybody can go check it out if they want to check that out. He says, I have included a link to a video of our shop's small 56-liter Eheim?
Sure, Eheim, yeah.
Display tank. All natural plants and all thrive on neglect. No special plant lights or fertilizers or CO2. Just the equipment that comes with the tank and water changes when I remember. I have managed to get a group of 10 mixed-sex Genisei Onca.
Yeah.
An unusual cool water live bearer from South America related to anableps?
Uh-huh. Anableps are the four-eyed fish. Remember they have those at the aquarium?
I don't remember, but I believe you.
You don't remember the four-eyed fish? They kind of skim along on the surface of the water and their eyes stick out the top.
So you can see underneath and above at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yes. Those are funky.
Mm-hmm. They're live bears, too.
Okay. A friend of mine brought a few back from a collecting trip to Uruguay a couple of years ago, and I have been keen to get some. A few came up on a trade list for the first time ever a couple of weeks ago. I got a male and three females, which were just settling in well in the animal room at home when we had a really hot day, and they all died off. That's so sad. So now I have a new, larger group in the shop, and I'm hoping to hear the splashing of tiny fins sometime soon. I'm going to sneeze.
Oh, okay, that's fun. Salute.
Excuse me, sorry, you can cut that out. I'm sure you will see the sound waves spiking off of the thing, so you'll be able to find it and cut that out.
Okay. But I'll leave the fact that you were sneezing. It's just fun.
You're funny. Okay. Feel free to share the pictures and video on your pages.
Okay, so I want to show you this, okay?
We're all kinds of sneezing and coughing today. Not even sick. What's up? Okay, so are you pulling up mixed video?
I am pulling up mixed video.
And we're going to put that on the show page and on the YouTube, or not YouTube, the Facebook. We have the YouTube list for contributors, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
You've been putting stuff on there, yeah?
Yeah, playlist.
So we can put it on there too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you guys haven't seen, you probably have, but just in case you haven't, on the Aquarimax YouTube channel, there's a playlist of videos that you guys have sent us. So, you know, all these videos that we talk about on here, we usually put them up on the show page, but you should also be able to get them on the YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And are you putting them on the Facebook page also? Have you been putting them there?
Often, yes.
Okay, so we'll try to link it to there too. So there should be various options for you to go see these videos that people send in.
Okay, now it's working.
Okay.
Cool, I'm glad you brought that up. That's an important thing to bring up.
So the video is of this tank that's in his store.
Mm-hmm. And look at that happy, healthy moss and the other
spots
plants
on them.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
I like them. This is the funny thing. When he sent that name, I looked at the name and the species name, Onca.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's how I thought I would pronounce it.
Is it onça?
But it's descended from, it comes from a Portuguese word, because that is onça.
Okay.
Okay, when I saw it, I thought, that reminds me of a big spotted cat. And then
like
I realized the scientific name Panthera onca is the scientific name of jaguar.
Because they're both from down there?
And these are from South America, and so are jaguars, right? And these are cool water, but so...
Jaguars are warm water.
Well, jaguars actually have quite a large range in Central and South America, and even range up into the continental United States very slightly, into New Mexico and Arizona.
That would be really neat to see.
Yeah. Yeah. But so even, you know, states that border this state, so they live actually fairly close to us, but not very many
in
the continental United States, but there's there are a few. But at any rate, I'm not quite sure if these, the range of these fish coincides with the range of the jaguar or not, but I realized, oh, that that name is related to that, and so they must be named for the spots, because they look like the jaguar spots.
Well, what does it mean in Portuguese?
It is descended from a word in Latin that means links.
Like chain links?
No, links like the cat.
Oh, L-Y-N-X.
L-Y-N-X.
Not
yes.
L-I-N-K-S.
Yes. So the word has been used to, in Brazilian Portuguese, refers to jaguars. And the word in, let's see, I'm forgetting the name right now. I don't know why I know this word. It's one of the Portuguese Angola. Mm-hmm. Portuguese-speaking countries in Africa, where Portuguese is still used, also means can be used to refer to a leopard.
Because they've all got spots.
Yeah.
And so they're named this kind of after the spots on a jaguar.
I'm guessing so. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but just looking at these fish and seeing the spots and then thinking, there's got to be a connection there. So.
That would make sense.
Yeah. Kind of neat, huh?
Yeah, that is cool.
And I like fish with spots.
Well, Mick, I'm glad you have a new group of them. I hope it goes better.
I hope they
better.
Do well. And I really like the tank. I love the natural tanks, like the Wallstead method and so on. And it looks cool. I can see it looks like some Java fern down there. Mm-hmm. Yep, there's Java fern on there on the side and the Java moss. And
so you guys should go, go check out Mick's video and see these spiffy little fish.
Yeah. Hopefully they do well. Mm-hmm. And it's always fun to get cold water fish. Fish you don't have to put a heater in, you know. You can have them in an unheated tank, and that's always fun. So I guess it does make them sensitive in the summer, but fun.
I think that's everything for today, isn't it?
I'm trying to think if there is anything else. No, I think that's about it. So, until next time...
May the fish
be with you. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.